Hello and welcome. It's good to be with you today, and I hope that you are having a great day. I hope that you had a great day Sunday celebrating our Lord's resurrection and worshiping Him, and that you're looking forward to hearing from Him in our time here together today. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible, and again, thank you for joining us. But more than anyone, obviously, we want to thank our Lord who loves us, who gave Himself to die upon the cross for our sins and rise again to give us eternal life, who wants us to know Him and gives us this time and these means and this opportunity. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for the day that You have given to us, Father, for the time, Sunday, Lord, to celebrate the resurrection of Your Son after He died upon the cross for our sins. Father, thank You for Your love, Your grace. Father, thank You, O God, for the salvation that You have made possible and for bringing us to that salvation. Thank You that You want us to know You, to be adopted as Your children, for this time that You have given us, Lord, to be together in Your Word. And Father, I ask that You would speak to us now, that You would reveal Yourself and Your ways, that we would know You, grow closer to You, be able to trust You. Father, speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, again, we're here today to meet with our Lord. And I want you to think about the time of meeting with the Lord, whether it's this time now or the next opportunity you have to go to worship or a Bible study or a private devotion. What do we really need to meet with the Lord? Whether, again, it's this time or some other situation, what is this? What are the essentials that we have to truly meet with the Lord and hear from Him? Well, we get some idea about that as we look at Psalm 132. It's a song of ascents, which means it was a song that they would sing as they made their way to Jerusalem to worship. And as we look at this particular psalm, we see what is needed for us to truly encounter God. We see some key attributes, some key elements that we need to have. As we begin to work our way through this psalm, the first thing that we see is that, number one, we need to seek the Lord. If we're truly going to encounter the Lord, it has to be our heart's desire to see Him, to know Him, to hear from Him. We have to seek the Lord. Let's look at verses 1 through 5. Remember, O Lord, on David's behalf, all of his affliction, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob. Surely I will not enter my house, nor lie on my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. Looking back, obviously, on David's desire to build the temple, but you think about it. And you think about David and his role in that time in his life. David was the king. You think about all the responsibilities that he had. You think about all the duties that he had. And in an absolute monarchy like Israel was at that point, everything ultimately came back to David. You think of the weight. You think of the burden. Just think of someone you know, and you may be in this situation, who's the owner of the business or the CEO of the corporation. You think about how all the weight and all the responsibility is always on them and how it's never, ever really away from them. And yet in the midst of all of that, what was on David's mind? What was on David's heart? It was in fact the Lord. And also, certainly as king, there were some privileges, there was some prosperity, there was some prestige in being king. But that's not what satisfied or filled David's heart. What filled David's heart was, in fact, the Lord. And he wanted God. You think about what we see in Psalm 27 in verse 8. Excuse me. When you said, "Seek my face," my heart said to you, "Your face, O Lord, I shall seek." What was it that our Lord tells us in Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The reality is, spiritual experience, spiritual encounters depend more on desire than on anything else. Certainly there are things that we need to do, disciplines we need to have, activities we need to do. But more than anything else, it comes down with a desire to know God. Do you really want Him? In our time here together today, do you really want Him? In your time of worship last Sunday, at whatever point it is you're watching this, did you really want to meet with the Lord? As you think about going to worship this coming Sunday with the fellowship that you're a part of, do you really want to meet with the Lord? Do you really want to hear from Him? Desire, more than anything else, will determine our spiritual experience with God. We have to want Him. Do you? So we need desire. We also, number two, we need to worship the Lord. Look at verses 6 through 9. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the field of Jair. Let us go into his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your godly ones sing for joy. This obviously is a reference to the ark when David moved it to Jerusalem in anticipation of the day when the temple would be built under Solomon. But you see David here, you know, the idea there of looking for the ark and, in fact, of finding it. But you think about what his worship, what his attention was, what the object of his worship was. Verse 7, let us go into his dwelling place, let us worship at his footstool. What David's talking about there is the real worship of God. Now I want you to think about that. The real worship of God. Real. Not manufactured. There's a lot that calls itself worship today that's really just manufactured emotionalism. Whether it's manufactured joy and excitement, or whether it's manufactured sorrow and tears. There's a lot of it that's just very frankly manufactured. Created. People are led into it more than a response of the Spirit working in their heart. But also real worship of God. You know, I heard one pastor make the very shrewd, very keen observation that there is a lot of worship today, but there's very little worship of God. There's a lot of worship, that is, the experience, the excitement, whichever end of the emotional scheme it goes under. But there's very little, very real worship of God. If we're going to have a genuine encounter with God, we need to seek Him. And our heart must, in fact, be turned to Him. It must, in fact, be a genuine worship of Him. Is that your focus? Is that your desire? God Himself, not merely an emotion. Again, certainly if the Spirit moves in some way, that there certainly God created us as emotional beings, and that will be reflected, that will be shown. But you need to make sure which is the cart and which is the horse. And the focus on God, the worship of God, needs to lead the cart of emotions, not the other way around, and then define God by the emotions, which is what so often happens today on either end of the spectrum. The excitement or the tears, or however else it's manufactured or even manipulated. There needs to be a worship of God where He Himself is, in fact, our focus. This great God of the Bible and His power, His majesty, His glory, His sovereignty, the beauty of His holiness, where God Himself is the object. If we're truly going to encounter God, we need to seek Him. We need to worship Him. But then notice as well, number three, we need to obey the Lord. Look at verses 10 through 12. For the sake of David your servant, do not turn away the face of your anointed. The Lord has sworn to David a truth from which he will not turn back. Of the fruit of your body I will set upon your throne. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony which I will teach them, then their sons will also sit upon your throne forever. God is linking there. Obviously, God's covenant with David is unconditional, the fact that it will always stand. And yes, God's only begotten Son coming through the line of David will be the ultimate fulfillment of that covenantal promise to David that one of his descendants would always sit upon the throne of Israel. But what took place was the fact that David's descendants after him would, in fact, they would be able to sit upon the throne and have God's blessings as long as they were personally obedient unto him. They weren't. That's why God sent both the northern kingdom of Israel and ultimately the southern kingdom of Judah, which still had the line of David reigning over it, into captivity because of their disobedience. Now, Christ will be the perfect ultimate fulfillment of that promise, but you think about all those in between. You think about those in the Old Testament. Their ability to sit upon the throne was determined by their obedience. Our experience with God is in fact determined upon our obedience. If there's an area of our life in which we're disobedient, before we can truly encounter and experience God, that area needs to be dealt with. And you think about your life, you think about where you are, is there some area that needs to be dealt with, some sin that needs to be confessed or forsaken, some area that you need to begin following Him? We, in fact, need to obey the Lord. And it's only in a condition of obedience that we will truly experience the Lord. I mean, think with me. How can we experience God when we're out of His will, when we're out of step with Him? We can't. Only when through confession and repentance are we brought back into fellowship with Him, are we brought back into alignment with Him again, can we truly experience Him. We need to, in fact, walk in obedience. We need to obey the Lord. But then look at the last one. We need to trust the Lord. Look at verses 13 through 18. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for His habitation. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her needy with bread. Her priest also I will clothe with salvation. Her godly ones will sing aloud for joy. There I will cause the horn of David to spring forth. I have prepared a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown will shine. What was the hope based upon? The promises that God had made. Genuine encounters with God are in fact based upon trusting God, that He is who He says He is, that He will do what He says He will in fact do. And everything must be based upon Him. You know, the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Are you truly trusting the Lord today? That is, basing your life and your decisions, your priorities, your goals, your hopes, your dreams upon Him and who He says He is and what He says He will do. Hebrews 11, only in faith did they experience those things. Only when we trust the Lord will we truly experience Him. Now, we are so blessed. We have so many opportunities to meet with the Lord. And yet, how many times do those opportunities never come to fruition because we don't meet the qualities that are necessary? And yet, you think about it. Anytime we have an opportunity to meet with the Lord, like now, or a Bible study, personal prayer time, next Sunday's worship, if only we would seek the Lord and worship Him and obey Him and trust Him, we would allow God to reveal Himself to us, to see Him, to know Him, to experience Him. I hope that you will do that. Beginning, with the balance of our time together, your devotion time tomorrow, if you haven't already had it, for the one today, and certainly in worship next Sunday, so that we can truly meet with our Lord. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for the day that You have given. Lord, this time to meet with You. And Father, every opportunity that we have, O Lord, may we truly come in a way that allows You to reveal Yourself to us. May we grow in Your grace, know You better, be closer to You, know Your ways, O God, and Father, know Your fellowship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope that you do have a great day in the Lord, that you're able to walk with Him and hear from Him, and that you experience Him working and moving in your life.